Hey everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Data Exposed. Today we're going to talk about HBase, and with me I have Maxim. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Maxim Lukyanov, a program manager in HD Insight team, working primarily on HBase, some cluster customization features.
Perfect. So thanks for coming to our show. Pleasure to have you. So let's talk HBase a little bit. How important is HBase in relation to what we're doing with HD Insight and things like that?
Yeah, so recently HD Insight kind of achieved a remarkable milestone in its development. Back in August, we released HBase, a NoSQL store, and that kind of complements our Hadoop, a batch-oriented analytics solution. And in October, we actually released Storm, a preview of Storm, the open source streaming technology. And with those three, we actually have all essential components, so people can start building, using this together to build some interesting apps.
Interesting. Yep, so we had had the program managers of Storm on. We did a show on Data Exposed with Storm. So I think you're the trifecta, you know, because we had Stream Analytics and Storm, and now now HBase. So tell us a little more about HBase.
Well, with HBase, as I said, we'll focus on kind of how you use it as part of the solution. But HBase lends itself really nicely with this kind of real-time tasks.
Yeah.
To talk about real-time big data, maybe instead of talking, we can just jump in and do a demo. How about starting the talk with some demo?
Let's do it backwards, I guess. This is perfect. So it kind of lends to, let's do a demo up front and then kind of how we did that demo.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to define the real-time big data of what we understand by these apps with the help of demo.
I'm excited. We're going to do a demo first. Okay.
Yeah, so in this demo, we do kind of a typical Twitter sentiment analysis, a little bit of that. You probably used the Twitter demos.
Yep.
But in this case, we combine these technologies that we have, open source technologies, to build this from ground up.
Okay.
And if you're interested, you can actually follow this on our documentation site and kind of follow step by step the steps required to build this application.
Yeah.
So what we have here is two components, the streaming component, which we can show here, which currently is represented as a simple console application. So this streaming component connects to Twitter APIs and retrieved tweets.
Okay.
And you can see here some tweets are retrieved and then processed and written back into HBase.
Okay.
So what this component does, it basically analyzes each tweet and extracts a sentiment score, whether the tweet is positive or negative, and then writes it in a ready-to-use format in HBase. And you can see that the stream of tweets is around 3,000 tweets, rows per second is written into HBase, and we have collected so far around 3 terabytes of data in there.
Wow, okay.
So once this data is in HBase, we can now use this web application, let me switch to that, to actually query this data, and we'll see kind of latest tweets in the form of heat map on the screen.
Okay.
So let's try to tweet to query by Xbox term.
Okay.
So we'll see all of the tweets, both positive and negative, that have Xbox word inside of them. So you can see that Xbox is fairly well distributed across the globe. I cannot find this good, perfect resolution here. But other interesting thing you can do, you can switch between, hey, that's a neutral tweet. So what about positive sentiment? Well, pretty much everybody loves Xbox. That's nice. you can also look at the negative side tweet, of things as well. And another interesting parameter we collect here is we calculate this ratio between positive and negative tweets. So you can assess how much, in a very crude way, of course, how much audience likes this particular term.
Yeah, based on the sentiment. Right?
Yeah, based on the sentiment.
Okay.
So for Xbox, it's, for example, 2.5.
Okay.
And to make things fun, we can compare it to PlayStation. Oh, sorry. So for PlayStation, first we can see that, for some reason, interestingly, PlayStation is concentrated more around Europe.
Yeah, the UK, actually.
Yeah, there is already some insight we have drawn from the data. the point of, and we can, of course, see positive, negative, but the point of the demo is probably the sentiment ratio is 2.3.
Yeah.
And what was it for Xbox?
2.5, I think.
2.5. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, now you know why I'm showing this demo, because I like Xbox.
That's right. Perfect. Awesome. So let's play around with this a little more. Let's do SQL, for example.
Okay.
And let's see what that is.
Well, SQL is a common term, so
yep.
It refers
it's
to...
Kind of a it's kind of a broad yep. term, right?
Yep.
So, got a positive inaugural ratio of 3.1.
3.1, yeah,
okay.
Good. Yeah, fairly well distributed across the globe. Yeah.
Let's get ourselves in trouble, and let's compare that to Oracle for a minute, just okay. to just have some fun.
Okay.
And look at that.
Oh, more distributed, more evenly distributed across yep. the globe. That's good.
With a ratio of 2.7.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, bummer.
Yeah, something to think about.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Now, but let's be very clear. You know, SQL is a very broad term, where yep. Oracle is very specific, right?
Yeah, it's so not completely fair comparison.
Yeah, not a completely fair comparison. Let's just yeah. make that very clear, right?
Yeah.
Just
so Oracle guys, don't worry.
Don't worry. We're just having a little fun. Well, that's interesting. So we can use HBase to do, and a lot of the technologies we've already learned on this show to mm-hmm. do, you know, sentiment value and comparison and positive and negative ratios. To bring that data in and yep. do heat map on that.
Yeah, so to drive this into a more kind of business oriented setting, we can do a little different demo. We can compare like car brands, for example. We can compare Ford to, let's say, Toyota.
Okay.
And that would kind of outline what businesses can do with this data, or this type of data.
Sure.
So we can see that Ford is fairly well distributed, 2.3 ratio.
Yep.
So if you compare it to Toyota, then we'll see that Toyota brand is a little ahead in terms of sentiment ratio and not as well distributed. But the interesting thing that we can do from Toyota kind of manager perspective, well, let's imagine
yeah.
Toyota manager, is now we can look at positive tweets, which are so concentrated around here that you cannot see them without zooming in, and compare them to a negative tweets. And let's zoom into this bucket of negative tweets here and say, hey, what about positive tweets? Okay, so there is positive and negative tweets at the same time. Is there anything, some fluctuations that we can take a look at in more detail? Okay, how about here? Okay, so that's a perfect example. So there's a cluster of negative tweets. And there is no positive tweets in the city called Dillon. Yeah, so
interesting.
if there is any dealership here, we can now able to act on it and say, hey, Dillon guys, what's going on?
Yeah, why are you yeah. having such a negative response to your
yeah?
To your
I'll just get an explanation on that.
Yeah,
and that kind of very it's very simplistic scenario. Let's be honest here, but it outlines. Or kind of illustrates the power of real-time big data really well.
Yeah.
Because traditionally, to get this type of insight into what's going on exactly at this moment mm-hmm. with your end customers, you have to do a really hard work of actually contacting them.
Yeah.
And now you can turn around and say that, oh, I got this real-time information and I can act on it and change how my company is operated on a day-to-day
real-time
basis.
Through social yeah. media or any type of other data that yeah. you can capture real-time.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So maybe companies and businesses can create themselves these real-time data sources
yep.
and then extract knowledge out of these data sources and use it to optimize how they do business
mm-hmm.
or maybe even to find new business models that these new data sources enable to change how they actually perform this business.
Right.
And a very striking example in contemporary history now
yeah.
Is two companies, Uber and Lyft,
mm-hmm.
which essentially what they do is they created these real-time signals about who needs a ride
yeah.
and who provides a ride, and they build a system that can handle this data at scale and connect these people together.
Mm.
And
interesting.
And that simple, from technological point of view, simple thing enabled them to basically go and disrupt the whole industry.
Yep.
And now Uber has like 41 billion valuation. So, so that drives the point that real-time big data is one of those components of technological innovation
yeah.
that drives possibilities forward.
Yeah, and allows you to do real-time yep. decision-making, you know, almost.
Yeah.
You know, real.
Yeah, I would even say that it's not only an opportunity, but also a challenge for every business out there. Basically, we have a question mark attached to every business.
Yeah.
Are you doing the most things you can do with real-time big data? Are you operating your business in the most efficient way? Can
yeah.
you create these real-time data sources and like go towards new business models?
Fantastic.
So it's very important to kind of for businesses to get a handle on this opportunity.
So is building something like this fairly complex? What's the architecture around something like this?
Yeah, let's dive in. So if you go back to to this application and look at it at a higher level, then we can see this kind of a typical architecture where we have events that can come from cars, devices, social media.
Kind of Internet of Thing type of,
Everything sensors. Kind of falls into this bucket. Then we stream this data into a streaming service, and you can think of it as a Storm cluster or Azure
Stream
Analytics service. And we won't dive into that one particular. And then the streaming service can build these aggregates and present them to a web application or mobile application, so you can present the latest data to the user. But in addition to that, the streaming service also stores the trends for historical reasons in some real-time data store like Edgebase. So your web application can then interact with end user and show whatever trends the user wants to see.
Okay, so this is where the Edgebase comes into play, is we're taking that real-time streaming data, analyzing that, and storing that in a store where we can, where a web application or a mobile application can now access that data like we saw in the demo.
Yeah, exactly. And what makes Edgebase kind of a good candidate for this type of store is two factors, and we can dive in a little bit into Edgebase. It's basically a scale that Edgebase provides and performance. So if you look at Edgebase, Edgebase is a distributed non-relational database. And it organizes data in a similar way that relational databases do. It has tables, rows, and columns. But unlike traditional databases, it doesn't support notion of relationships between tables. So you cannot do joins, you cannot do transactions, or even kind of a more complex queries that you used to do, you cannot do with Edgebase.
Does it fit more into the, like we saw in the previous slide, it fits more into the NoSQL type of category?
Yeah, that's why it's called NoSQL, yes. But what it offers instead, it offers a promise of linear scalability. It says that, hey, if you are the developer, can build your app within the boundaries of the Edgebase APIs, and you design your schema of the tables kind of correctly, then you can expect that your application will work just as well on petabytes of data as it works on gigabytes of data, and without any changes to your application. So that kind of a linear scalability is a great promise that allows you to use it in the context of the streaming applications, where you can expect a very huge kind of increase in data flow. And then all you need to do to handle it is, well, I just add more nodes to my Edgebase cluster, and I can handle more data with the same performance.
Interesting. Okay, so we get that linear scalability, get that linear performance just to support however much data that we're bringing in from any, at any time.
Yeah, so the second factor is performance. Basically, back in 2006, when Hadoop was kind of a young technology, Edgebase was brought into a Hadoop ecosystem as a solution for this real-time access to the big data. Like Hadoop at the time was already very good at handling big data at scale, kind of in a batch-oriented process involved, but it was very slow. So Edgebase was brought to kind of solve this, the same scale of data, but in the real time. It is optimized for low latency, kind of random reads, writes into this big data sets. And the particular performance feature that was introduced in Edgebase that lends it very well for the streaming scenarios is its optimization towards high throughput writes. Like behind the scenes, Edgebase has this uses this data model called log structured merge trees, which essentially we don't have time to dive into this, but essentially what it provides ability for data store to convert this random writes into a store, into a sequential writes. And we know that for today's drive technology, like spinning hard drives or even SSDs, writing sequentially has orders of magnitude higher bandwidth than writing in random places. So that kind of technology was optimized to maximize your storage bandwidth, and that allows you to achieve very high performance with a minimum number of nodes in terms of accepting the stream of ingesting events.
Great. So we get better performance, better, you know, from a and better distribution, better linear scalability just by using Edgebase.
That's right.
So how do we get started with, how does one get started with Edgebase? And I mean, it's a great overview, and we can see that a lot of customers are using, or you know, a lot of customer companies are using Edgebase. Are all these using them with HDInsight or and or Hadoop?
So this is an example of companies. Like Edgebase is a well-known kind of open source component, and it's used in by large enterprises and small and large, now large startups to power very kind of significant or large global applications. Like Facebook uses it for messages, or when you click on the Facebook button, it retrieves data from Edgebase. So there are clusters in these companies that are more than 1,000 nodes in size and handle petabytes of data. So it's this technology kind of proven itself, it used broadly.
Very nice. And the fact that we now can incorporate that with you know, some of the other, like you saw on the previous slide, right? Some of the streaming technologies and HD Insight and Hadoop.
Yeah.
It's kind of a, you know, like you said, brings everything full circle into a single solution.
Yeah, so that's probably the next thing we should do. Like, talking about it is interesting, but how you actually build an application. So we can dive
dive in, take a look at that. How does one get started, and how do we actually build an application like that?
So first, of course, you need to have a edge-based cluster. Like, we'll use our demo as a sample how you build an application. So that's the simplest part in this journey. So you can create an edge-based cluster using Azure Portal, basically in a few clicks. There is also PowerShell support and all other kind of automation mechanisms. So you can create a cluster, select the size, select
password,
and then you select a storage account. So we integrated HBase with directly with the storage account. We used our investments in Hadoop file system driver, and we connected it directly to Azure Blob Storage. So we optimized performance to make it kind of similar to local hard drive performance.
Oh, perfect.
And that enables very interesting configuration where you can create a cluster and it's connected to a storage that is outside of the cluster.
Right.
And that simplifies greatly your manageability of the cluster. You can drop it into create and not lose your data, and you can use access this data from outside of your cluster at any time.
Right, so you're basically saying, I'm not storing my data in HBase. I'm basically, here's my HBase, I'm pointing that HBase to, you know, Blob Storage, essentially.
Yeah, yep. We can even take a look at this Blob Storage account. So this is how HBase, so this is a storage account that I have used for my Twitter cluster.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a HBase folder in the storage account where HBase stores its data. So you can see basically a low-level file system of HBase and all of the data that it stores. For example, this tweets by words folder contains all of the data for the tweets table that I have in HBase.
Okay.
You can even probably, if it takes sufficiently small amount of time, calculate its size.
How much data is in there?
Yeah, 3 terabytes is probably will take some time.
Take some time. Yeah.
So we'll move forward. So that's how you create a cluster.
Okay.
And once you have one, you can use native HBase tools to kind of manage it and monitor it.
Okay.
So if you log in into a cluster using RDP session, you can open this management console for HBase, and it will show what's inside of your cluster, basically. In that one, for the Twitter sample, we have four nodes, so it's a four-node cluster.
Yep.
And they have this particular number of requests per second.
So you can see, just through this little management console, how many requests per second each node is processing.
Yeah, that's right. And we can look at other things, like to answer this question about, hey, what is the size of the data? Well, we can open the Store Files tab, and then you can see that, well, it's increasing slowly, and it's around 1 terabyte for each node.
Wow. Yeah, getting up there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is it growing?
Yeah, it was growing.
Yeah, it was growing. Okay, so that's kind of a web UI, and there is a bunch of other options you can use for debugging, looking at the logs, and things like that.
But you have to log into the cluster in order to get to this management console.
Yeah. Okay. That's right. And there is also a management kind of administrative console, which is a classical open source thing, which is a command line utility called HBase Shell, which you can use to do management operations. Like, you can list tables that are stored in your cluster. So there are two in this one, sample table and tweets by word.
Yep.
And you can do a bunch of other operations, like moving regions of the tables around and doing variety of other management operations.
Interesting. Okay. Very nice.
So once you have this cluster, you can start writing an app.
Okay.
And for that, we actually did the work to integrate it with .NET environment.
Okay.
Because, like, we like .NET.
It's a good thing. So there's an API that allows you to work with HBase, right?
Oh, yeah, that's a great point. So HBase has two types of APIs, kind of a native Java RPC type of APIs, and also several gateways that expose the same functionality, nearly the same functionality through REST and other endpoints. So we expose the REST APIs of HBase outside of the cluster.
Okay.
And we built a .NET client library for this REST API.
Perfect.
So it's really easy to integrate it into your application.
And how's the API installed? Is that through like a NuGet package?
Yeah, exactly. So in the manage NuGet packages, we can see the NuGet package for Edgebase. Where is it? Yep.
There you go.
So you just go and install this Microsoft Edgebase client for Edgebase.
Wonderful. That allows you to work directly with your Edgebase service.
Yep.
Nice. Okay, very good.
Well, you can also use, just to make it kind of clear, you can also use native Java RPC APIs of Edgebase. That's obviously you'll have to write your Java application.
Yep.
Yeah, so we support those. We support various connectivity options for Edgebase, so it's easy to kind of integrate with those API endpoints as well.
Okay, very cool. So this is actually what we're looking at here, is the app that we were just running.
Yeah, so let's take a look at that. So this streaming application that collects data, and well, it's just a sample.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, for production use, you wouldn't build a console application that streams your data.
It gives you a nice visualization of how the collection of the tweets. Yep.
Yeah. To build this console application, well, at least it's much easier to build a console application than storm topology. So good for illustrative purposes. So the key part of this application, well, you probably want to start with connecting to Edgebase cluster. And that is done just by creating this Edgebase client that's entry point to our .NET library.
Okay.
So once you have this client, you can start reading and writing data into it. And the key function that actually writes or creates rows in Edgebase is this create tweet by words cells.
Okay.
And here we go through in a loop through all of the tweets, and basically for each one we create a row in Edgebase.
Okay.
In a format that makes it easy to query them later.
Okay.
Using this keyword type of pattern, access pattern. And you can see that we have to deal with some of the intricacies of Edgebase, like when you create a row, for example, we have to specify a row key.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, we need to convert our string representation of the key into a byte arrays.
Okay.
So that's kind of a native Edgebase idiosyncrasy. So we support that in this version of the .NET SDK. And then you go through all of the cells and basically create a columns. So we store ID of the tweet, language of the tweet, coordinates of the tweet, so we can place it on the heat map.
Yep, okay.
And finally, a sentiment score that we calculated before.
Yeah, that we were showing, displaying up in the right hand corner. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
So here is a function that calculates sentiment score.
Great.
So that's how APIs look. You can use them to basically integrate your Edgebase store into your .NET application.
Wonderful. So now, if someone wants to get started with, so obviously we can go create the cluster, you know, the Edgebase cluster and things like that. But if someone wants to get started with the SDK and start building an application, is there a place they can go to start actually start say, hey, I want to give me a sample, let me walk through a tutorial that utilizes this.
Yeah, so we have actually several tutorials, and this demo is in the way you see it is actually is one of them.
Okay.
So you can go to this site, which is our documentation site.
Oh yeah, azure.com.
Yeah, azure.com documentation page about HD Insight service.
Mm-hmm.
And on the featured section, this analyze real time Twitter sentiment is the actual link to the tutorial that walks you step by step through every kind of part of this application
that we just saw, really.
Yeah, we just saw, and you can recreate it. So it even uses some of my slides here. it's pretty long because it goes into every detail, like, hey, how do I build this heat map?
Yeah.
Oh, you use bin control with some customizations.
Sure.
So everything is explained here.
Okay, but the goal here is that by the time they're done walking through this, they'll know fairly well how to work with Edgebase.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And all the components.
It shows how to store data. It shows how to query data from Edgebase. Yep.
Okay. Right. Perfect. So if you're interested in working with Edgebase, there's a place to get started with it right there. Start working with and walking through this tutorial. It may take you a little bit, but you know, as you can see, it's a fairly full tutorial.
Yeah, that's right.
Perfect. So Maxim, thanks for coming. This was very educational, very good. I think everybody can will understand how easy it is to start working with Edgebase.
Yeah.
And how powerful it is to start doing, you know, analytics and things like that, and start doing gathering information. Right?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah. Maxim, thanks for coming. Everybody, thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Thank you.